Kids, come on down. All right, I've got a story I want to read to you, and then y'all are going to help me do something, okay? You ready? All right. The story is it's called the 90 and 9. It's the story of the 90 and 9. It comes from Matthew 18. Listen to it. What do you think about this? If a man has 100 sheep, and one of those sheep goes astray, does he leave the 90 and the 9 on the mountains and go and search for the sheep that he lost? Yeah. If he turns out that he finds that sheep, truly I say to you, he rejoices more over the 90 and 9, which have gone astray. So it is not the will of your Father who is in heaven that one of his little ones should perish. Now, we're gonna act this out, okay? Come on. Are y'all ready to be sheep? Stay right here. I'll be right back. And then I've got my shepherd staff here. It's flowering today. And I've got one more little sheep.
Looks like a big bad wolf to me.
Will you let little Jay be one of our sheep today? Okay. All right. Okay, come on, sheep. You've got to follow the shepherd. Let's go. I'm the shepherd. Let's go. Come on, everybody. Everybody, let's go. You've got to follow the shepherd. Yeah, you can bay a little bit. Let's hear you. Come on, everybody. You've got to follow the shepherd wherever the shepherd goes. Okay. All right. Come on, sheep. Some of you are mighty quiet. All right. Jimmy, lead them on back down there and sit down when we get up there. Come on, sheep. Come on, let's go. Let's go. Everybody back into the sheepfold here. Let's go right here. Right here. All the sheep. All the sheep. Okay, let's count them. I got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 91, 92, 93, 94, 95, 96, 97, 98, 99. Wait a second. I started out with 100. We lost one. Let's see. I've got to go find that sheep. Where's that sheep? Where'd he go? Where is he? Oh, now we've got 100. And I'm very, very happy as the shepherd. Listen closely. That's how God feels about us. He loves you so much, so much, that he's going to chase you down and go get you, just like we went and got this sheep right here. He loves you. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you. Thank you for this beautiful story. This story about your love. I pray for all these children here today, Lord. I pray, Lord, that each one of them will realize how much that their shepherd, Jesus, loves them. In your name we pray. Amen. Okay, now we can go to Kid Zone. By the way, Stephen made this beautiful. And thank you, errant sheep, for your participation. Thank you. I'm a little antsy today. And I want you to know that it's been hard for me to keep my mind on what I'm supposed to have my mind on today, which I'm very divided on that today. I sent you a letter this week, a letter as a follow-up to my Everyman message last week. Those of you who weren't with us, we had a little interview with. In fact, we just asked him a question and let Everyman. He sat up here and he morphed 21 times. It could have been 121, but 21. We got to see 21 different people and their reasons that they were in their minds were blocked, were separated from God and separated from the love of Christ. We got to hear all kinds of things. Several of you called me later and you gave me a few more. And there are many. Could have been 121. Something that every man has in common are these seven things. I put them in the letter. I hope you'll go back and read that letter this week. Read it again. Number one, they do not belong to Jesus yet. Key word, yet, because that's how we've got to start seeing our world. They don't belong to Jesus yet. Number two, they are all people for whom Christ died. I got that message from my mentor, my father in the ministry, John Bean. He reminded me one Monday morning when I did not pick up one of our teenage boys who just refused to come to the door. He said, go back and get him, Dusty. Remember, son, Jesus died for him also. Number three, the Holy Spirit is actively working in their lives, whether they acknowledge it or not. Do you really believe that? That the Holy Spirit is working in the lives of people all around you? He's working in your life right now, whether you want to acknowledge it or not. Number four, their lives truly show how much they need Jesus. Yeah, you can curse the darkness all day long, but why not turn on a light? Their lives show how much they need Jesus because they're leaking oil, they're smoking, there are a lot of sounds that are coming from their lives that they're not too inviting, and you see it. And we have a front row seat to that. Number five, their families are suffering because they're separated from Jesus. I want to remind you too, a lot of suffering you can't see because we've grown so adept in our society to hiding how we really feel and what's really going on. Years ago, someone that I'd known a long time committed suicide. I just talked to the guy a week before. I didn't know. Number six, the evil one has blinded them to the good news. I read you that 2 Corinthians passage last week, chapter 4. We talked about how the God of this world has blinded them to the good news. Do you believe that? Every time you start to have a Jesus conversation with somebody, what happens? There comes a blockade. There comes competition, because it is a battle. And finally, number seven, There truly is a battle. A battle for their souls that's going on. And how do we know all these things? Because we who have come to Christ have experienced the same thing in our lives. Each year we pick out a verse that we're going to go by. John, if you'll stick that one up there for us. From the New Living Translation, here's our 2015 verse. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Now, in a couple of minutes, let me just break this down for you. First of all, I believe that verse because I've personally experienced what that verse says. I've watched it in my family members. I've watched it in people that are dear to my life. I've seen God do this in their life. But most of all, I've seen it happen in my own life. Everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Now, literally, let me give you the translation of this. Literally what it says from the original language. This is how the... And there's a nuance in this translation that we sometimes miss. So follow with me on this. Here's literally what it says. Whoever indeed that anyhow shall call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Whoever and anyhow shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Literally, that's what it says. When you translate the, when you break it down and you see it in its context, whoever. Who is that? I concluded last week with that old statement, and one of you showed me a grand old hymn that had it, that somebody you. That's who God's after. That's who His love is for. It's somebody you. Me. Every man. Every man. The whoever. Doesn't matter your where you've come from, how much money you make, what your race is, where you grew up, what your nationality is, what your standing is, are your bills paid or unpaid, what your personality is like. Whoever, let me stop here and admit a foible of mine, a sin of mine. There are times that I believe in my way of thinking, I have put some of the people in my life beyond the grace of God in my own mind. And I say, they're too far. Whew. That's a dangerous thought when out of the mouth of the Lord, He says, whoever. Whoever. Let me ask you, what would happen today in America if the church, we here in Savannah started really believing whoever. 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 Doesn't matter. The net is going through. As my mentor said to me, Dusty, they too are someone for whom Christ died. Anybody. You know, and not only is God just saying that, but He's doing something about it. If we believe that the Holy Spirit is actively at work in those lives. Now get this. So when we rule somebody out and say, well, you know, maybe they're just too far. Maybe. No, I don't know if that's going to happen. And you know, this has been a problem over the last few years. Not a long theological argument here, but where we've gotten more into sociology than theology. And we've let sociology govern the way we evangelize and all. And listen, we've got to go beyond that and see that when I say, well, maybe they're too far, I am blaspheming the work of the Holy Spirit. Whoever indeed that anyway, had you come to the Lord? Bob Harrington, years ago, the chaplain of Bourbon Street, his first evangelistic experience after the Lord came into his life on the streets of New Orleans, down on Bourbon Street, he was there, and he happened to stumble into a little chapel there. He sat on the third row on the left-hand side, and he listened to what this preacher said, and at the end of it, the preacher said, "Come on up here if you want what I've shared with you." He introduced him to Jesus. And this other fella came and sat down beside him and started taking down some information. He got his name. His name was Phil. And he said, and they prayed together. Whew. Jesus came into his life. Bob leaves that place that night. He sees one of his friends later on. And he says, "Man, something is different about you, Bob." So he begins to share what happened to him. He said, "Well, how can that happen to me?" He said, "Well," said, "tomorrow night, they're going to have the same service." He said, "You get in there late after they've already started, about 15 minutes late." So you walk down, you sit in the third pew on the left-hand side. And at the end, when he starts talking about that stuff and all, you go up there, you shake his hand, and this guy named Phil, he's going to come down there. He'll ask you a few questions. And you pray, and man, Jesus will come into your life. Anyhow. How'd he come to you? Was it at Walmart? Was it in a church service? Was it through a family member? What means did he use in your life? Was it on top of a double Ferris wheel where you were trapped and couldn't get away from the preacher, John Bonifacio? Can I get a witness? What was it? Where are you? Young people, I went out and spoke at the college, one of the college ministries at Armstrong. They call it whatever it's called now. What is it? Armstrong Atlantic University? Armstrong State University now. Back to ASU. All right. And I shared with the young people, and I said, I'm going to speak something prophetically to you today. We haven't even imagined yet all the means that God is going to use in this next generation to bring people to Jesus. Because what happens? Remember? Moses' staff? What did the Lord tell him to do with it? Throw it down! What happened to it? Came a snake. God said, then what? Pick it up. Are you crazy? Man, you don't pick up a snake. You see, methodologies come and go. But what God is saying to us, who we are, He's saying, anyhow. Anyhow, anywhere, any means. That's what Paul meant when he said, I've become all things to all men. He's not saying, as some of the people that have redacted the scripture have said that he's changing the essence of the gospel. No, the gospel doesn't change. But the delivery system sure does. And it's as different as all of us. Because that's who we are. He says, shall call. Whoever, anyhow, shall call. He's calling people to make a choice. He's saying, here it is. It's this or this. You're choosing a way to go. And don't say, I'll put the choice off. Especially young people. I'll just put the choice. No, you're not putting the choice off. What you're saying is, no, I'm rejecting the choice of God in my life today. I'm delaying that. No. Choose. What Joshua say? Choose this day whom you'll serve in your life. You're making choices every day, aren't you? Choose. Call. Call out. Call out to the Lord. Now let me ask you this. Is this a call out to the Lord and you're calling into this black hole and you've not heard anything from Him? No. This call He's talking about, listen to me, this is an important nuance here. Very important thing. This call is a response. It's an answer to the God that has been calling you all your life. Through all means, through all now and anywhere, He has been there. He has been presenting Himself over and over and over again. You know, you hear a common phrase today, oh, we want to represent. What is represent? It is re-present. And that's what God is doing through us. He is re-presenting Himself over and over and over again. And He's calling out. How many times is enough? Well, how many does it take? How deep is your love? How much do you love the people in your life? Whoever, anyhow, shall call upon the name. Name of who? Allah? Allah is not God. Allah has His roots in a cultic moon god. Boy, that's going out on the airwaves. I'll probably get a few threats. Or Buddha? No. It's the God Yahweh, whose name is mentioned over 5,500 times in the Old Testament, whose name is so precious that Jews were careful how they used it. That's why we have a difficulty today about knowing how to pronounce it. Original Hebrew had no vowels, just consonants. That reverence and awe for that name. And who is He revealed in? What does it say in the book of Hebrews? God, who in these last days has spoken unto us by His... Anybody? Nobody knows that? Who has He spoken unto us by? Hebrews 1. His Son. He has revealed Himself. Why did the scribes and Pharisees have such a problem with Jesus? They didn't have a problem with Jesus because they misunderstood what He said, did they? They had a problem with Him because they absolutely understood what He said. I Boy, that changes things. Whosoever, anyhow, shall call, answer God's call, and call on the name of the Lord, then what's the result? It says, will be saved. Past, justified. That is, your sin debt, gone. I mean, when he can say, hey, I forgive you of everything and wipe your slate clean. Present, you'll be saved. When he says, I'm going to come and indwell you. I'm going to baptize you in the Holy Spirit. So I'm going to, so that you can be conformed to the image of Jesus. I'm going to be working in your life. And save future. You're going to be glorified one day. Either when you die, get that, you know, as the Lord in His time gives us that glorified body, or when He comes back, whichever comes first for us. I'm counting on the fact that He's coming soon, and I'm going to get to experience that. That's my, not just my hope, but my expectation right now. It says, you will be saved. Everyone, every man who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. And their lives change. Don't they? New. Brother Rick was talking about passion this morning and renewal. Hey, salvation in Christ, a relationship with Him, is not just celebrating a past event in your life. Is it? Because the same Lord who forgave you of your sin is the one who will guide you in your life today and bring you joy unspeakable. Who'll show you how to live. Who'll come where you are. You're in the soup? Well, maybe it's time to call out to Him again. Listen to this now. Because the way you came is also the way you live. Listen to me. The Scripture says the just, those who've been justified, aren't just saved by faith. They shall live by faith. We don't just sit on our laurels, you know. Oh, I'm saved. Yeah, I'm going to go out here and live like hell. That's probably a real good indication that you never got the goods in the first place. Because when Jesus comes, He changes. Oh, we stumble, we fall. Only two perfect people that I've ever known, that I heard about. One is Jesus that walked this earth, and the other one that I keep hearing about this person, it was in counseling. They're always talking about their first wife or their first husband. The only perfection is in Jesus. He'll change your life. You let Him. So, on the basis of that, what am I asking you today? What am I asking you to do? I'm asking you to do five things. Here they are, and they respond to all five parts of this verse that I broke down for you today. And I hope the Holy Spirit has interpreted that today so you can understand it. We must be open. First, open to anybody. It changes your life when you think God can do a work of grace in anybody's life. It changes the way you think. It changes your worldview. Second, we must be open that God will use any means. That means 24/7. Whatever God is doing, we're going to join Him. Lord, I don't understand where this is headed, but I know You're in the middle of it. Any means. What means does He want to use in your life? You see, if you think it's all going to happen inside these walls, this is just where we gather to refuel and worship together corporately. You know, He gathers the church so He can then do what? Scatter the church. He gathers us in a large group. He gathers us in small groups. But in all of those things, what was He doing? He's gathering us so then He can scatter us. Third, we must be open to hear the voice of God. Whosoever shall call. Whoever is going to answer. Because you see, not only is God is working in the people's lives around you. He's working in you. Then He's going to be working when you come together. He's Lord. Are you open? Are you open to that? Number four. Are you open to say, to live out that Jesus is the only way, the only truth, and the only life? It's amazing the number of evangelicals in this country that do not believe in the exclusivity of Jesus the Christ. They think there are other ways to get to heaven. That's not what Jesus said. That is an exclusive statement, but it is inclusive because who did He die for? Every man. Whosoever will may come. And finally, I'm asking you today to be open to salvation. Do you know the Lord? Have you made this eternal transaction? Happened in my life when I was 15 years old. I'd heard the Bible, had it read to me since my earliest recollections. All my life. I'd seen people before me living there. I was 15. When I know that Jesus came into my life, He changed me. Are you open to salvation? Are you going to continue to say, another day, another time? Behold, now is the accepted time, Corinthians says. Today is the day of salvation. Now, right now, I'm calling on you. I'm calling on some guys to man up. Want to be a man? Want to be a real man? Who's the real man of history? There's only one. Jesus. Jesus. I'll put Him up against anybody. Be open to salvation and what it means in your life. That God's changed your life. And live it out. And be open to God's salvation in others. Is that what your life has bent toward? On the sign out front, it says at the bottom of it, this is a meeting place. This isn't the church. This is a building. Meeting place of. You look at the top of it, that's what it says. Meeting place of. This is Sycamore Church. And it says, knowing Him and making Him known. That's what we're about. What life is about. Job you have. What's your job for? He's funding your ministry. Because what your life needs to be about. Your work. What you do. What you do. Does it need to be excellent? You better believe it. Must be excellent. We must do it, as the Scripture says, as unto the Lord. Man, it's time for us to reclaim the arts in our country. Reclaim sports in our country. Reclaim the workplace in our country and say, as unto the Lord. I'm going to live it out. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord, be saved. Let's bow our heads. Lord, You've taken us a lot of places today. We've seen You work. Now, Lord, as we open the altar, we ask You to come with Your power and Your strength. Come, Lord. Touch our lives. May we be obedient to You. Ask Brother Rick, Brother Dane to come and join me. Either side here. The Lord put His hand on you today. The altar's open. You'd like to follow Jesus today. Today's the day. Come. Come. I invite you. The altar's open. Was the Lord spoken to you today? You heard from Him? We thank the Lord for what He's done here today. Let's just thank Him right now. Lord, thank You for Your presence, for Your power, for what we've seen You do, and Lord, what You're going to do in us now. Lord, I ask You to go before us now as You send us out into the world. Lord, let us be the salt and light. Lord, truly let us believe whoever. And Lord, for the ones in the sound of my voice here today, they're struggling with that relationship, wondering, should I just throw my entire weight upon You? Lord, I pray this will be the time. They'll say yes. Thank You for Your work of salvation today. Lord, we bless Your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Sycamore.